We are listener-supported. One Radio Network. Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, here we go. Here we're going to have fun now. More fun. Yep. Dr. Jerry Jacobson. Let me pull up a website here. I kind of got thrown off kilter here because it wouldn't connect up for some reason. Good morning, Dr. Jacobson. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Patrick?
Well, we're doing well. I'm sorry you couldn't connect. I don't know what's up with that.
I was trying to connect, but it access code.
An access code? Well, that's really silly. How long have you been studying magnets, Doc?
About 38 years now.
My goodness, 38 years. And why? I mean, this is, magnetic resonance therapy is really your specialty, correct?
Yeah, that's right. What I was looking for my entire life, actually, was an equation that Einstein searched for the last 25, 30 years of his life.
Yeah.
I did find it. It's a simple, elegant equation that Stephen Hawking knew must exist. And when I found it, I began to apply it to medical sciences as well as energy and other things that are of concern to the human race. And essentially what it means is that everything is composed of fundamental magnetic particles. That is, magnetism and gravity and electricity are all connected, such that everything in the universe is connected.
Uh-huh.
With one another.
Yeah.
And what I noticed was that based upon my calculations, the magnetic field of a human body is extremely weak. It represents a kind of quantum gravity. And scientists at MIT and Vanderbilt and New York University have been measuring these magnetic profiles of the human body since the early 70s. And they're millions of times weaker than the Earth's steady magnetic field in which we have evolved. And it's very interesting that we're able to actually send back these kinds of magnetic signals to renormalize the human body and the various tissues, such that when disease or injury occurs, magnetic profile changes. It becomes either too weak, too strong, or unbalanced. And what we do is we renormalize the magnetic profile of the body, and that markedly restores the capacity of the body to heal itself.
So Dr. Jacobson, we've lost some magnetic juice. That's our birthright, perhaps?
That's right. You see, we're ultimately composed of atoms.
Atoms, yeah.
These little tiny particles, they're all tiny spinning magnets.
Mm-hmm. They're magnets.
All the ultimately micro components, the small components of our bodies, they communicate via electromagnetic forces.
Yeah.
And when these forces become imbalanced or in disarray, we can renormalize them in order to treat a variety of conditions that human beings suffer from. So essentially what we do is we renormalize the magnetic profile of the body to treat disease or injury, for that matter.
So,
and we've done a number of studies, in this area.
Yeah, wow. So this magnetic energy that we emanate would be from our essence, maybe as soul, with spirit running through us, which is the mojo of everything, so to speak, if you want to go that route?
Actually, you're right, because, for example, the consciousness.
Yes.
it's not necessarily a process of brain function. It's a connection between ordinary matter and extraordinary matter, if you will.
Yes.
Last year, cosmologists became convinced that such things as dark matter and dark energy exist.
Yeah.
That is, there's no such thing as empty space. We go back to the 1600s when René Descartes, a French philosopher, said there is no space devoid of field, which means very simply that there is no such thing as empty space. So based upon scientific experiment, we now know that the consciousness connects ordinary matter, ordinary brain, for example, and this dark energy field. So that consciousness and the soul and, you know, spirituality are connected in this vein. Now, this dark energy is not measurable directly. We can't see it, we can't feel it, and we can't measure it. But we know that it exists based upon astronomical data because we can perceive gravitational interactions that occur in galaxies and galactic clusters. And the only way to explain these gravitational effects is with something that's unseen, but exerts a gravitational force.
So is it fair to conjecture then that that same spirit, if you will, divine spirit, we'll call it, which is everywhere and which is kabillions of miles away with the planets, people think, wow, that's a pretty powerful, you know, force. But if it's all one, as it is, right?
Right.
This is the same energy that we're made of that is working through us right now.
That's right. As a matter of fact, every atom in our bodies is communicating with every atom everywhere in the universe.
Whoa. That's so cool.
Constantly.
That's so cool, man. When you think about it like that. So when we
There's no other way to think about it because the fact of the matter is that, you know, everything in the universe is connected via the electromagnetic force, and ultimately all the forces of nature boil down to magnetism.
All the forces in nature boil down to magnetism. So
yes, they really do.
Help me with that. In other words, so I can really get and visualize that everything's connected spiritually and just from a quantum physics, as you just said, which is very cool when you think about it, no matter how far out you go, that, you know, this is all one blob of something. So the magnetism, meaning the attraction, the off and on, that's what keeps the connection there on a physiological level?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the magnetic profile of the human body regulates normal physiologic function. That is, all the processes that go on in the human body are regulated via magnetism.
Via magnetism.
So this is the future of medicine.
Hmm.
It's the future of energy. It's the future. It's the future, period.
And
you know, in order to understand, you know, how to do things, for example, let's take something scientists have been trying to do for 50 or 60 years. That is control thermonuclear fusion power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we exploded fusion bombs, which are extremely powerful, but there's no way to control it. So scientists have been trying to control magnetism and energy via a lot of different approaches. For example, at Princeton University, they have something called a tokamak. And the tokamak uses magnetic fields that are extraordinarily strong, and they try to contain a plasma, which is like a hot ionized gas that they think exists in the sun, in order to produce more energy coming out than what's put in. In my experience, and also my theory, is based upon the idea that we can actually set up a process of resonance with very weak magnetic fields in order to control these little hydrogen ions, these deuterium ions. They're composed of protons and neutrons. And if we can get them to fuse, that is the future energy source. And amazingly, the fuel for fusion would be ordinary ocean water.
Wow.
Which has a lot of deuterium in it. the heavy hydrogen. In the case of medical research, we've actually used very weak magnetic fields, literally millions of times weaker than the Earth's magnetic field. And we've demonstrated, for example, at Cornell University that we could regenerate nerves. We could restore the ultrastructure of nerves and restore function of nerves in mice. And, of course, all this data is published.
Yeah.
At the University of Oklahoma, for example, we've done cardiovascular research, and we found that extraordinarily weak magnetic fields can regulate the electromagnetic functioning of the heart, that is sending in very weak magnetic fields to dog hearts. We found that we could reduce blood pressure, reduce heart rate, and we could even affect atrial fibrillation, which is one of the most important aspects of heart function, in that it very often produces stroke in human beings.
Weak magnetic fields, Dr. Jacobson, would be an idea where you could actually build a magnet, make a magnet that you could hold or have in a machine or something.
Yeah, what we've done, actually, in 1995-96, I started working with NASA scientists at the Stennis Space Center in Mississippi, and they built my technology. I hold 47 patents.
Oh, man.
Well over 100 scientific publications.
Wow.
And they built the first generation of my technology, which actually looks like a futuristic type machine.
Right.
It's 7-foot coils, two of them, and the patient sits in between these coils. It's a non-invasive holistic approach, so that the person is actually bathed in these very weak normalizing magnetic fields. And then we've tested these kinds of fields, these very weak magnetic forces, in nerve regeneration, cardiovascular function, wound healing at Mississippi State University. We've even done experiments with human mammary carcinoma cells, cancer cells, breast cancer cells. And we found that these very weak magnetic fields, when established in resonance with particular molecular structures, we could decrease the viability of these cancer cells in vitro, that is, in test tubes, that sort of thing. So these magnetic fields have a profound effect on the body because they renormalize the communications between the atoms of our body, such that if you want to establish a metaphor, all the molecules of our body kind of dance together, and when these change abnormally, we could renormalize them by entraining the dance of the molecular structures that comprise our bodies.
How does the magnets that you're in the field know what to tell the little cells,
right,
that aren't doing what they're doing now because of what we call disease? How does it know what to tell them what to do, or is it just giving them more juice so they know what to do?
It's not just a matter of more juice.
That's what
my equation does. We can literally calculate the magnetic forces, the magnetic profiles that are necessary to set up or establish a system of resonance. So that, let's say we take a body, which is ordinary matter, and we place it in the magnetic field.
Yeah.
That will induce an electromotive force, a force through the body, an energy wave,
right,
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy wave or pressure wave enters this other space, to get spiritual, but it's still science, hard science,
right,
which produces a gravity wave, or a movement of dark energy, which comes back to ordinary matter, which is called a phonon field, to imbue vibrations in target masses. That's what my equation allows us to do. So we can literally target any atom, any molecular species in the body, and influence how it moves, how it vibrates, how it oscillates. And we do it all at the same time through the body, because the entire body, from a holistic point of view, is exposed to the magnetic forces, such that the atoms, the molecules, the tissues, they communicate properly. And in that way, the body can then heal itself or renormalize. The way I usually explain it is that if you take a piece of paper and place it over a bar magnet, and then sprinkle iron filings on the paper, mm-hmm. tap the paper a few times, you see the orientation of the iron filings, you know, accommodate to the magnetic lines of force. I mean, most kids have done this. It's just simple experiments. And then if one or two of the iron filings is out of place, for example, and you tap the paper too lightly, nothing happens. If you tap it too strongly, then you knock other iron filings out of place. But if you tap it just right,
yeah.
what happens is the iron filings that are out of place snap right back into place, helped by everything else that's around the other iron filings that are in place, such that you renormalize the flow of the iron filings around the magnet. It works the same way in the body. The body is predominantly organized. I mean, God set us up so that the organization of living systems is unbelievably perfect. But when some things get out of place, when they vibrate too quickly or too slowly, or when the atoms or molecules of the body are not communicating properly, then what we do is we resonate the body. It's actually a system of resonance, and we can imbue proper oscillations or vibrations of these molecules all at the same time, because it's a holistic and non-invasive and perfectly safe method, because these magnetic fields exist naturally in the body. And of course, this is an approach it's kind of futuristic. It's been done for about 20 years now, and we've treated thousands of patients with it, of course.
So let's say there's a diagnosis or something, and we can know, for example, maybe the thyroid is underactive or something. Okay, hypothyroid. So
yeah, you see, that's exactly right. You know, you're going in the right direction. Because remarkably, every tissue in the body, every organ, every tissue, every structure in the body maintains a normal magnetic profile, if you will.
Yeah.
And when that magnetic profile changes, becomes too weak, too strong, or unbalanced, we can then rebalance it so we can tell the molecules how to communicate properly with one another and imbue coherence to their dance of life, their song of life, and then the body can then heal itself in the same way that the organization of the iron filings on the top of the paper help the little pieces snap back into place.
So
if you take, for example,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just one more little example. If you take a tuning fork.
Yeah.
And then you vibrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's oscillating, it's vibrating. And then you take another tuning fork that's tuned, that's in resonance with the first one,
mm-hmm.
touching it, all of a sudden it starts vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
That's resonance.
Resonance.
So right, so it's a magnetic resonance effect.
With the different cells or atoms or however small you want to get in the body.
Yeah, amazingly, we can target any size particle in the body, from an atom, even subatomic particles, or molecules, or aggregations of molecules. We can target anything we want based upon the equation. The equation is mc squared equals bvlq.
Yeah, mc, I see.
And what that means is that mc squared describes the intrinsic or rest energy of the particle, the molecule, the cell, the atom. So we know that the energy of the molecule, for example, whether it's a neurotransmitter, a hormone, an enzyme, whatever it might be mm-hmm. that we're interested in,
yeah.
know the energy. When we take the full body and we expose it to a magnetic resonance therapy, what we're doing is we're imbuing an equal amount of energy, that BVLQ is in, produces an energy that moves through the body, and that energy is moved through the body into empty space, which is not empty, it's actually filled with dark energy, and that pressure wave comes back to the body, and it vibrates, it actually produces an effect on the molecular species that we're interested in, so that we can control the molecular vibrational frequency, or the way they dance together, the way they communicate together. So we imbue a coherent oscillatory trajectory. That is, we can control how the molecules are moving in space-time collectively together so that they're, the organization of life is restored.
So in our example of, say, just an underactive thyroid, then these molecules, they know what their job is and what they're programmed to do. And given the right resonance, then they do that. And then they heal. They get back into resonance. And then we say, oh, your thyroid's working again.
That's right. And so we have to understand, of course, how human physiology works. For example, you know, my company has a 513G from FDA. So it's perfectly safe. And it's, you know, it's the basis of the future of medicine, actually. So, for example, we have a part of our nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. And there are two main arms to the autonomic nervous system. And this is an unconscious nervous system that regulates everything in the body, the internal organs and how they function and so on. And the two arms are sympathetic and parasympathetic.
Yeah.
The sympathetic arm controls fight or flight. That's when we have to do something quickly. You know, we're engaged in protecting our organisms. For example, sympathetic will increase blood pressure. It will increase heart rate. It will decrease kidney function. It will decrease the motility of the GI tract. Then there's the other arm of the autonomic nervous system, which is based in relaxation. So we enhance feelings of relaxation. And the parasympathetic arm of the nervous system decreases heart rate. It can decrease blood pressure. It improves kidney function. It improves GI tract function and many other different things. It also relaxes the brain.
Mm-hmm.
See, the brain has a particular magnetic profile. So in that way, we can influence the various internal organs, including the thyroid, including the heart, including, you know, all the other structures like the liver, the pancreas, the GI tract, and the brain. So, for example, we can, let's say somebody has a problem sleeping. Well, we know what the frequency of sleep is, you know, based upon the electroencephalogram. It's a very low frequency. And when the brain sleeps, the magnetic forces in the brain are weak, weaker than while we're awake. So if we send in a magnetic signal into the brain that's, let's say, hyperactive, you can't sleep, you know, you're dreaming too much, you can't stop thinking, that sort of thing, we can send in a magnetic signal that decreases the magnetic profile of the brain, the forces in the brain. We can decrease the frequency, the circadian rhythmicity in the brain, for example, and we could put somebody to sleep. We could relax them in so doing. We can do a lot of different things like this. Or if we send a magnetic field through the heart, and the heart is predominantly parasympathetic, in order to relax, and we increase the time it takes for an electrical impulse to go from the ventricles to the auricles, that is the lower chambers of the heart to the higher chambers, and we can decrease heart rate. We can relax somebody. So we can do a lot of different things with magnetic forces without pharmaceuticals, and very often without surgery as well. Because we're actually sending in a signal to the body that the body needs, requires, and in training the body, we can enhance feelings of relaxation, thus enabling the body to heal itself. We can also stimulate the immune function with these magnetic fields. We've done lots of experiments.
Why is there a time lag? We know that there's always, it's just now, right? It's always now. So we know that. There's no future, there's no past. So if you get this resonance going in the thyroid, for example, or the liver or something now, and they're where they need to be because of this magnetic influence you're doing, why is there a time lag in between you doing that and somebody would test their thyroid and or their thyroid gets functioning again? I mean,
I know what you mean.
Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. There can be a time lag. Sometimes there isn't. For example, let me give you a particular case. I had a clinic in the Bahamas for 3 years, and one gentleman came in. He was the Minister of Finance, and he was a handsome gentleman, tall and thin, and he was wearing a black suit, white shirt and tie, and he walked in with slippers, no socks,
mm-hmm.
diabetes type 2, and he had diabetic neuropathy. His feet were burning, and they were numb, he couldn't feel them, and he had pain in his feet. He couldn't even put shoes on. So I started to treat him with some coils, sending in magnetic forces into his feet.
Yeah.
At a time when I wasn't exactly sure what signals I needed, but I was close. And I treated him for about a couple of months, and he became about 50% better. And then one day I said, well, let me see if I could tune into his feet. And I sat at the generator, which controls the signals, and I just kind of experimented, making the strength of the signal a little stronger, a little weaker, or the frequency a little stronger and a little weaker. And all of a sudden, he said to me, my feet are normal. And I shut the generator, and I hesitantly turned around, looked at him, and said, are your feet still normal? And he said, my feet are perfectly normal. And he stood up, and he walked around my clinic, and his hands were in the air, and he was praising Jesus.
Wow.
And he said, my feet are normal. And for years, he was suffering. He couldn't put shoes on. He couldn't even put socks on. And I followed him for several years thereafter, and his feet remained normal. So it was kind of a instant response because I hit resonance. Now, when you're close but not right on, there could be a time lag. For example, you know, in radio transmission, if you send in exactly the right signal, you're going to get perfect reception. If your signal is a little bit off but close, you're going to get some static, but you might hear the program to some extent.
Right.
If your signal is completely off, if you're on the wrong track, whether it's AM or FM, you get nothing. This works the same way. If you establish resonance, then you get your effect almost instantly, but most often you're a little bit off, so there is this time lag, and it takes the body some time to adjust, because remember, we're helping the body heal itself.
Yeah.
So if we adjust something, sometimes it takes time for the body to reorganize itself, because we have trillions of atoms that have to be occupying certain positions in space-time such that they're all communicating coherently, you know, collectively, and sometimes it just takes time for the body to reorganize itself.
So this resonance...
But it's remarkable.
This resonance or reorganization that you can do with your technology and the magnets is similar, probably the same, that we are learning to do on our own through meditation, relaxation, more parasympathetic, more peace, love, hippie beads, spiritual stuff, which is...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It does the same thing. It does the same...
It's the same thing, whether you're using Reiki or meditation
whatever,
or relaxing music or sound. The amazing thing about this is that we know what signals to use for a lot of different conditions.
That's what I was going to ask. Whereas, so you've actually got testing things, doctor, where you can, you know what to go in there if you're going after liver or cancer or whatever.
Right. In other words, we know what signals generically are useful in the treatment of a lot of different conditions. Of course, there's a lot of research still yet to be done.
Sure.
No question about that. It's going to be years, many years, before this is completely, thoroughly analyzed. And it's useful today, very useful, especially in sports injuries and relaxation and a number of different neurological conditions as well. But a lot of research still has to be done. I've done research at about a dozen universities, rigorous scientific research in cells, animals, as well as clinical studies. We've done double-blind studies, for example, in fibromyalgia, where we can diminish the pain markedly. We've done studies in sleeplessness, where we can help people sleep. Parkinson's disease, like, for example, a Parkinson's, I'll give you another example. I had a Parkinson's patient come in, and he was using a triple-sided walker. And he moved very, very slowly because, you know, Parkinsonians, they're very rigid. And their postural stability is very, very poor. It took him probably several minutes just to negotiate a turn into my clinic. And his speech was unintelligible. But I treated him for three times a week for about 10 months. And at the end of that time, he was dancing in church and speaking and normally. And the mask that Parkinsonians have, that was gone. And he was pretty much normalized, didn't use a walker anymore, could walk without even a cane. And that was done in the Bahamas. That wasn't done in the States. In the States, we've done a lot of rigorous scientific studies at major universities like Cornell, University of Oklahoma, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and others, Fairleigh Dickinson University, in nerve regeneration, cardiovascular studies, as well as wound healing studies. As a matter of fact, I even treated the Baltimore Ravens some years ago. Siragusa I treated the whole team, actually, and with water. I resonated water, just plain water.
Hmm.
As they were drinking the water, I could increase their energy or help them relax, either one. So the magnetic fields imbue certain oscillations, certain frequencies in the water molecules, and when you drink it, you can actually, it spreads out in the body, and you get almost the same effect from resonated water as you do with a body just sitting in a magnetic field.
That's amazing.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. So do you have devices? It's similar. It's in the genre of structuring the water in a particular way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have a device that people can structure their water at home?
Sure. As a matter of fact, my company right now is called, you can Google it. It's magnaceutical.com.
Right, I got that
instead
up.
Instead of pharmaceutical, it's magnaceutical.
Magnaceutical.com. Okay, stay right there. We're going to take some calls and some emails, okay?
Sure.
Wow. Pretty fun stuff, eh? Dr. Jerry Jacobson, magnaceutical.com. It's magnaceutical.com. Pretty fun stuff, eh? It is June 20th, solstice. When is that coming? Is it tomorrow? I don't know. You like ask Dr. Google. It's either tomorrow or it's either the 20th or 21st, somewhere around there. You'd think Dr. Google would know for sure when the summer solstice is. But anyway, it's a pretty cool time of the year to do take on new projects. This is a great time of the year to do new projects. Did you know that? Yeah, I just made that up. My name is Patrick Timpone. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. And if you would like to get yourself one of these little rebounders, man, this is a cool thing to do. And I'm on mine virtually every day. I like to do it 2, 3, 4 times a day, maybe 5 or 10 minutes per time, and then do some burst exercising. And I like to do it that way rather than just spend a half an hour. I don't know. It's just kind of fun after 2-3 hours to go downstairs and jump around a little bit. You can use weights with them. You can do all different kinds of cross crawl. You know, that's a really nice thing for the brain to get that all working good, doing the cross crawl. They're lifetime warranty, $339 delivered in the United States and Canada, Hawaii, and Alaska. It's about $50 extra. If you live there, we can do that. Just email me and we'll get you one. Check these out. These are one of the best ones in the world. The Rebound Air, they have these large springs, I think 36 of them, and absorbs a huge amount, 85% of the impact on your joints. Very much more efficient than jogging and very easy on your knees. And it's a cool thing. The Rebound Air Rebounder, OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's master herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone, and it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women, is that we have this microgram more than they do, and then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click an order, and use your Thrival link. Different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price, take your pick. Right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, it's a great product. Also, if you'd like to try some, if you wanted to take maybe ginseng, goji berries, or Shizandra, we have a fellow we work with, Brandon Amalani, and this is the real deal. If you want to get ginseng, for example, he's got a 50-year-old ginseng that they make in a traditional way using sake, actually do it certain times in the moon phase. I mean, it's like, it's the bomb. You know what I mean? It's the bomb. So is there Shizandra and goji berry. They put them in Myron glass. If you're going to spend your money on these kinds of superfoods, which are cool, they're very reishi, very cool, very cool. Get the best. He helped to Daniel Vitalis work out their reishi, I think, years ago. So it's maybe a very similar product, but it doesn't matter. But the Shizandra goji berry extract from Shen Blossom, and then the premium grade ginseng root extract, 50-year-old roots, and you can probably even get, and then they got the mushroom formula too. These are really top of the line, well crafted. Superfoods and mushrooms and things from Shen Blossom, and it's right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. June 20, 2017, with Dr. Jerry Jacobson, who's been working with magnetic resonance therapy for long, long time, 35 years or so. Doc, when we do superfoods like what we talk about here, the pine pollen, these really great things that people... they feel better. Are these foods or herbs or whatever, are they essentially giving the body information to get the similar, in a way, to get the cells or the molecules back in more resonance? Is that how they work?
That would be one of the modalities. I mean, generally speaking, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, what they do is they generally interfere with intracellular pathways.
Right.
So they tell the molecules, you know, how to move in space-time.
So like a statin would tell the molecule, you got to cut back on your cholesterol, whatever they do.
Yeah, through feedback mechanisms.
Right.
The interesting thing is, you know, when you deal with pharmaceuticals or herbs or that sort of thing, They they generally just, you know, talk to the pathways, the molecular pathways, and, you know, you can get a positive response by reorganizing pathways and how molecules speak to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting to note that some of my studies have dealt with increasing the absorption rate of drugs or herbs. In other words, if you resonate the body with the right signals, you can actually get increased absorption rates, and they go to the cells quicker,
yeah,
and they improve the functionality, so that whether you're using conventional pharmaceuticals or whether you're using herbs, you can improve the efficacy of these agents with adjunctive modality, with using magnetic resonance therapy.
Yeah, that would make sense. So I know that you have this, a friend of mine is getting one of these big chairs. Is that your product? You actually sit in these chairs and you're just surrounded by this stuff and you only use them so often and all that?
Yeah, well, that's what happens. You know, you sit in a chair that's...
What's it called?
Well, it's called a magnosphere or a halo. The magnosphere is a clinical model and the halo is a home unit.
Halo. Hmm.
So that when a patient goes to a doctor and the doctor figures out what protocol the patient requires to treat whatever condition it is,
then
the patient can actually get a halo model, which is a home unit, and then they have the option of treating themselves every day, if they choose to, in order to improve their condition. You sit in a chair that's made out of non-ferrous material. Nothing touches you.
Yeah.
You don't feel anything either.
Really?
Because the magnetic fields are so weak. And you're sitting in between two coils that have very, very weak electrical currents running through them, and they create the magnetic field. And that's controlled, it's computer controlled, so that we have generic signals, generalized signals, that can enhance feelings of relaxation and improve the quality of life in so many different conditions. You mentioned before knee arthritis.
Uh-huh.
We did a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical study in knee osteoarthritis. And we found some years ago also, and we found that with 8 treatments, we could reduce, on average, the pain level 50%, whereas the placebo effect was only at 8%.
Hmm.
So we could markedly reduce the pain level for osteoarthritis, as well as improve the range of motion and the flexibility of the joints. We can do this in any joint, actually. So we found, you know, very specific generic signals that can help relax the tissues such that, you know, function is improved.
The name of this this chair is a magnosphere? Magnosphere?
That's a magnosphere is the clinical model.
The clinical model, yeah.
And the halo is the home one.
So in either one of these, I know a fellow here has sent an email. I guess he's used the magnosphere. He was wondering what this feeling of warmth or maybe tingling, what exactly is going on when they were, I guess he used this one.
When you feel tingling or warmth in a particular place, You can see that the magnetic field always goes to the area of pathology. You can actually feel the tingling and the warmth in the place that's bothering you, whether it's pain or malfunction of a particular tissue. It always goes to the area of pathology, which is pretty amazing.
But if you have one at home, like a halo, that's the model at home, how do you know what settings and all that, or how much kind of mojo you're going to be putting in there, how much juice to get into resonance?
Well, when you go to the doctor and the doctor establishes the protocol that's right for you, then you know exactly what signal to use, and because it's computerized and coded. You know, all the protocols are coded, and then you know exactly what you can use at home, and you could use it every day. It's perfectly safe.
What do you mean, like a doctor diagnoses you with... whatever, low thyroid or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. You go to the doctor, and the doctor uses the clinical model, the Magnetosphere, and he diagnoses, he establishes the protocol required to help you. And then once that protocol is established, then you can get a halo for a home as a home unit, and then you use the same protocol as often as you want.
What about people who don't go to doctors?
Well, the only way to get a halo is to go to the doctor to begin with, to establish the protocol that's required for you.
A doctor that is involved with the halo thing or knows about it, or just a regular...
Yeah, a doctor that has a Magnetosphere or a halo in his office.
I got you. Oh, cool. I see. So that's the way it's got to work to make it all, everybody happy.
Yeah, right now it's important to go... And the doctor establishes the protocol that's required. He makes the diagnosis. He establishes the correct protocol. And then you can, you know, go and get a home unit for use at home, because then you know what to do.
I see. I got you. What about over the years, people have marketed these and promoted the idea of maybe sleeping on magnets like a North. And I think they're North Pole magnets, aren't they, Dr. Jacobson, generally North Pole?
Okay, let's talk about that, because that's a good idea.
Okay.
But I'll try to orient your audience so that they understand the differences between the different magnetic devices. Magnetic resonance imaging is something used routinely now for diagnostic purposes.
Yeah.
Now, that's the typical strength of a magnetic resonance imaging device is about 10,000 Gauss. Gauss is a unit of magnetic force or flux. The Earth's magnetic field is only a half a Gauss.
Wow.
So the magnetic resonance imaging device uses a magnetic field that's 20,000 times stronger than the Earth's natural steady magnetic field.
That's a lot.
That's why you can only use it for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, 30 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Household appliances, computers, cell phones, they generally produce magnetic fields a little bit weaker than the Earth's steady magnetic field in the milligauss range.
Okay.
You know, about 500 times weaker or a little bit stronger than that. And it's important to realize that these magnetic fields are not in resonance with the molecules of the body, with the tissues of the body. They're not in resonance.
They're not. That's why computers and this stuff can be troubling for some people to be around.
That's right, and it also depends upon your level of sensitivity to magnetic fields that are unnatural.
Yeah.
And that's why chronic exposure to, for example, computer terminals, librarians, as an example, develop headaches, migraines.
Sure. Yeah.
With chronic exposure to computers. And a lot of people have problems with computers who just stay on them for too long a period. Cell phones, there have been studies with cell phones, and even though it's, you know, still kind of controversial, I've been at this for many, many years, and I've met all the major scientists in the world in this area, and, you know, if you use a cell phone too long, too much, you know, you can develop headaches, you can even potentially develop a tumor.
Sure.
Near the area. So it's always a good idea for your audience to establish this. If you're using a cell phone, switch ears. Don't always use the same ear. Try not to carry the cell phone on your body. For example, when I was in Spain, I had clinics in Spain as well, a guy came in with osteoporosis. His hip was necrosing. The bone in his hip was actually deteriorating.
Mm.
Nobody knew why. So after some discussion, we recognized that he always carried the cell phone in his pocket. He always carried it around his waist. He always held it near the side of the hip that was necrosing, that was dying. So I told him simply, you know, you have to keep your cell phone away from your body as much as you possibly can. If people use their cell phones, they should keep them at a distance. You know, put the speaker on. Don't always put the thing to your ear. That's very important. Now, the natural magnetic profile of the body, as I mentioned before, is much, much weaker It's a million to millions of times weaker than the Earth's natural steady magnetic field. And that's the natural magnetic profile of the body. It's literally millions of times weaker than all these devices that they've been using. So now we come to the use of steady, permanent magnets that people hold on their bodies, or they sleep on mattresses with magnets and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's important for them to realize that not only are these potentially hazardous with chronic use, they simply shouldn't use them.
Really? Too strong? Just too strong?
Way too strong, because these magnets that people are sleeping on could be a few thousand gauss. In other words, they could be a couple of thousand times stronger than the Earth's field, and they might be a little bit weaker than MRI, but MRI is a 30-minute exposure. And if you're sleeping on these things every night, you have the potential to do harm to your body, because they're totally unnatural.
So give us the idea, in the Gauss terms, of what the body's natural magnetic resonance is when we're in Godland and peace, love, hippie beads. I mean, perfect would be what?
Yeah, these magnetic fields are known, they're in the picotesla range.
Picotesla?
Pico is a trillionth of a tesla. Now, a tesla is 10,000 gauss. So what we're talking about is magnetic fields that are literally millions of times weaker than the Earth's steady magnetic field. And it's very important to realize that this is kind of a quantum gravity. I'm sorry, we were disconnected.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I got your voicemail. Well, it sounds okay. So let's see if so the body, natural God kind of resonance, if you want to use that term, just because that's
we
nice.
Can use that.
Yeah, we can use that term because everybody relates to that. Is like one trillionth of a tesla, and a tesla is like 10,000 gauss. I mean, that's like nothing. And so that's why a computer, or even the studio I'm in, if I don't protect myself, which I've got some things I deal, can affect the body. Just add a little stress on it where you don't even feel it.
You may not feel it, you know, with short-term exposure, but with long-term exposure, you might start to get headaches. You might start to increase your blood pressure. You may have difficulty sleeping.
Sure, sure.
I mean, there are sequelae that occur from chronic exposure to unnatural magnetic fields.
Well, why do humans generally feel better, or they theoretically, if they're out on sleeping on the earth or ground themselves, you know, which is like you said, 0.5. I mean, that's a whole lot more than this this God state.
Yeah, the thing is that it's very interesting to note that evolution occurred in a magnetic field that is natural to cells.
To cells.
See, every part of the body has a resonance effect with particular signals.
Yeah.
So the Earth's magnetic field is normal to us. It's a half a gauss.
Half a gauss.
Right. That's normal to us. And that all life evolved on Earth within that kind of range. It ranges from about 0.3 to 0.7 gauss, which is normal and natural to the body.
Uh-huh.
If you have a field that's weaker than that but still too strong, chronic exposure is bad. If you have a magnetic field that's stronger than the Earth's field, that can be bad with chronic exposure.
Oh.
The only field that's totally natural, and I've done studies not only in humans, but animals, dogs, cats, pigs, horses. For example, at Mississippi State University, we had a horse resonator.
Yeah.
Each coil was 10 feet in diameter. It was gigantic.
Wow.
And the horse could walk up a ramp, and it would stay in one place because at the other end there was hay, and it would just be eating hay and be happily staying in the resonator.
Right.
And in the meantime, when I put the horse in a picotesla magnetic field, a low-end picotesla magnetic field, I put the horse to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is all life on Earth evolved within the same range of magnetic fields. But all life on Earth is still, from a quantum point of view, from a microstructural point of view, the normal magnetic profiles are in the picotesla range. That's a trillionth of a tesla, or millions of times weaker than the Earth's field. So a picotesla is actually, it's 10 to the minus 12 tesla, which is 10 to the minus 8 gauss, if you're familiar with exponents.
I'm getting a little feedback. Do you know why that is? In the background when you talk?
Well, somebody is mowing the lawn outside.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, I got it. Okay, well, we can deal with that. So,
yeah. So
give us an idea then what a computer puts out compared with the body.
A computer puts out fields in the milligauss range, which is basically unnatural. That's why chronic exposure to computers could be potentially hazardous. Now, I'm not only talking about headaches or that sort of thing. Although it hasn't been proven and it's certainly controversial, it's my personal belief that chronic exposure on computers can produce any kind of disharmony in the body. So let's say you have a potential to develop cancer, for argument's sake. And let's say cancer has been initiated. Let's say it's gotten started based upon your genetic predisposition or exposure to viruses or that sort of thing. Well, a colleague of mine at Columbia University in New York did some studies with power line magnetic fields, for example, which were in the milligauss range. Milli is a thousandth of a gauss. And what she found was in leukemia cells, she could enhance the oncogenic expression, the cancer gene expression, by 400%.
Huh.
Now, those were already cancer cells, but exposed to unnatural magnetic fields, the cancer cells proliferated.
Oh, wow.
You know, within that context.
Yeah.
So let's say someone has a predisposition to cancer, inheriting proto-oncogenes, they're called. These are genes that have the predisposition to converting to cancer genes.
Yeah.
If you have that and you expose yourself chronically to an erroneous magnetic field, which again controls the communications between the atoms and the molecules in the body. So with chronic exposure, you could enhance your probability of developing cancer. So it's not safe to use magnetic fields too often that are unnatural to the body.
So if you were using a tri-field meter and you're just testing the magnetic juice, right? What would be a level that would be probably anything on the if it registered anything, it's probably not good for the body, right?
No, it's not good. You can buy a gauss meter for probably a couple of $100s.
Yeah, I've got one downstairs. Yeah.
Yeah, and measure the magnetic ambient profile just from different sources, from computers, from cell phones, from whatever.
Even
whatever.
A refrigerator up close, you get some.
Absolutely, a refrigerator, a microwave oven, a toaster,
anything.
You can actually measure the magnetic profile coming out of these electrical appliances with a simple gauss meter, and when they're in the milligauss range, you know that chronic exposure is not good for you.
I say chronic. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's why even these Priuses and some of these other cars using all this stuff, these are pretty high magnetic stuff.
You want to stay away from very strong magnetic fields for long periods of time. If you expose yourself for a short period of time, so let's say, magnetic resonance imaging, you're okay because the exposure time is a half hour and then you're done.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're going to do an MRI, very often, maybe at the most once a year or once every couple of years. But if you expose yourself to, strong magnetic fields for too long, potentially hazardous. I'll give you another example. I had another colleague who worked at Cooper Union. He was a very good, neuroscientist, and he exposed malignant melanoma cells to fields that were four times stronger than magnetic resonance imaging. Mm-hmm. I don't recall how long he exposed them, but he could actually watch these malignant cells, you know, disseminate.
Wow.
They actually move.
You can see them moving. True.
You can actually watch them move. So what that means is the potential for metastasis of cancer is increased when you increase the magnetic profile too much. So my suggestion would be that anybody who's sleeping on magnets, anybody who's holding magnets to their body for long periods of time, it's not a good idea. Now, everybody knows that if you hold a magnet, you know, near your body, it's going to affect blood flow. It may diminish pain to some extent, but these are symptomatic occurrences. In other words, you're doing more harm than good. You may think you're doing good because your pain might decrease a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but it's doing other things to your body that you don't know about.